This morning's message is primarily going to be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you'd like to turn there. Here in 2 Timothy, Paul is speaking to Timothy. Paul was basically his mentor, and he's trying to encourage Timothy. Paul knows that his days are short-lived, and he wants to be an encouragement, and he tells him to not only to remember all the things that Paul had taught him, but Timothy, you're to teach others. You're to be an encouragement to others. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Fight the good fight and hang in there. And that's what this chapter is about. Not only was this good for Timothy to hear, but it's good for us as well. So if you would, let's start in verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, the undeserved favor, that is in Christ Jesus. The Lord is always with us and gives us favor, assuming that we are actually his, born-again believers." Verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy, commit yourself to teaching others, encouraging them, building them up in the faith, that they in turn will build up others in the faith. Now, in my personal life, I was saved in Tucson, and the church I got saved in, I didn't do hardly any growth, but the church that we went to after that, they had a couple of older men there, and at that time, I was still in my 20s. I'll tell you what, I clung to those guys. Why? They knew. The guys that I clung to were not just old in age, but they had been believers a long time. One of them was a Sunday school teacher, and the others were just sound men in the church. And I held on to those guys. They taught me immensely about the Word of God and about how to conduct myself and those types of things. What is the right thing to do? And later in life, when we moved to Connecticut, again, there was a couple of older guys there. I was like a fly on the wall. I was always with those guys. Whenever we were gathered together, I was always picking their brain. Why? Because you want to grow. You want to understand. And that is basically what Paul is telling Timothy. You teach these men that in time they will be teaching others to strengthen the whole body. Verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness." The word hardness there means affliction or troubles, tribulation. The opposition is hard at work. Not if you therefore endure. It's going to happen, hardness, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now the thought here is that soldiers are trained for battle. The battle that is they're going to face sooner or later, the soldiers are being trained for that battle that lies ahead. They are to prepare for the difficult times. That's what the military trains for. It isn't so that I made it through boot camp because I trained for boot camp. No, the training there is to help you further down the line. For us, this is the same. We spend time in communion with the Savior, in His Word, being discipled by not only His Word and God speaking to me, but learning from men that have experienced what a younger believer has still got to learn. Now, most younger believers, including myself, I did not study the scriptures like I should have. Not early in my Christian life. And you know what? Most young believers don't. How else are they to be prepared? And if you're an older believer and you've been saved for years and you don't, shame on you. Verse 4, no man that warreth, the word warreth there means to contend with the flesh, fighting the good fight. No man that warreth, entangleth means to entwine, to be tied up, to be bound, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who was chosen him to be a soldier. We are to struggle, to battle, to not be caught up with the affairs of the life, of this life. To be overcomers, always victorious. We are called to be faithful soldiers, committed to winning the battle of the flesh. We all have sinned. We looked at some of that last week. But we are to be ready for battle. Not just the battle, but to win. To be victorious. Sin is sin, whether internally or external. And we are called to win the battle. So let me ask you, how are you doing on your battle? Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, that term, strive for masteries, is the Greek word athleto, means to contend competitively, strive to win. It's where we get the word athletic from, to be an athlete. You're not an athlete to go out and intentionally lose. You train to win. And that's what we're called to do. It's funny, this word is only found two times in the Bible, this Greek word. And both of them are in this verse. Both times. It says, and if a man also strive for masteries, to be victorious, like an athlete, yet he is not crowned except he strife. The word strife there is that word again, athleto, lawfully, unless he strives lawfully. God has given us a race, commanded us to run it. Have we trained? Are we prepared to run the race that is set before us? Are we masters to run for the master? Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel, according to the good news of God. Wherein I suffer trouble, which means to undergo hardship. Paul suffered greatly in the flesh. He suffered because men were always attacking him because he spoke the truth and they didn't like it. He suffered trouble. It says, as an evildoer, as if he was the one that was in the wrong. Even unto bonds, the word bonds there means to be shackled. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not shackled whatsoever. God's word is not restrained or shackled in any way. It's free to work God's intent in the hearts of men. And Paul was determined he was going to bring that message. It didn't matter if he was bound. It didn't matter if he was being restricted. He was faithful, and he ran the race that God gave him. You got to love Paul. You really do. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. The elect's sake there is the whosoever's that will come to Jesus. That they may obtain also, the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The word glory there is honor, praise, worship. Paul was willing to pay the price in the battle to bring the gospel to the unsaved, no matter what the cost. Verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Praise God. Verse 12. If we suffer... The word suffer, there's a little different interpretation than what we would normally think of. It means to remain steadfast, to bear the burden with fortitude. Paul was determined, no matter what the opposition. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. It is said that the sufferings and testings were used to weed out those that were just professors and not true possessors of the faith. It is also to strengthen the believer with more fortitude for the next trial. Trials that come our way is like going to boot camp. It prepares us for the next trial. God tells us to be faithful in the little things. The little trials upon little trial, and they get bigger and bigger. Because if we went right from day one to face the massive trial, we don't have the strength, the fortitude within us. God trains us, just like in boot camp. Trial upon trial upon trial upon trial, and we are commanded to be overcomers. We got to be overcomers in the little one if we ever expect to face what tomorrow holds for us. We're to have that great fortitude. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. The Lord's nature is to be faithful, and he cannot deny who he is. Whether we believe him or not, God is faithful. He's always faithful. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to be subverting, means demolition, to destroy of the hearers. In other words, these a lot of idle words, bickering back and forth about things that don't really matter. God says to crush them. Don't even be caught up in it. Our responsibility is to pray and preach the Word of God, to destroy the apostasy in the hearts of the unsaved, or even perhaps those that are saved but are backslidden. God has to do the work. We're just the messengers. We don't save them for God. God saves them for himself, and we have the privilege to be the messengers of God, whether it's to the unsaved or to be an encouragement to younger believers. We're to be found faithful, like our God is. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're back to training, the boot camp. training to have the knowledge to battle for the souls of men. Are you diligently training to be a workman approved of God? If not, why not? We're commanded to do so. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We looked a little bit about that just in a couple of verses before this. The Believer's Bible Commentary has got this to say about this subject. It says, profane and idle babblings are teachings that are irrelevant, evil, and useless. If it's not profitable for the people of God, it should be shunned. Timothy is not instructed to combat these teachings, but rather to teach them with disdain. To treat them, with disdain. Not even dignifying them with his attention. One serious thing about these babblers is that they are never static. They are always increased in ungodliness. It is so with all forms of error. Those who teach error must continually add to it. Think about a lot of false religions, the Mormons. Look at the way that has changed over the years. Why? Because as time goes by, they study these teachings that they've been getting, and they found out it's wrong. So what do they got to do? They got to modify it. Well, if it was the Word of God before, why isn't it the Word of God now? Because it's not the Word of God. Timothy is encouraged to just keep going, presenting the gospel, encouraging men to grow in Christ, and not to be caught up in these other things. Verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker. What comes out of these babblings? This is it. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, these two men were apostates, corrupting the word of God. And he says it's just like them. Verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Some were weakened, and they believed this teaching that the resurrection had already happened. It was apostasy. Paul encourages him, keep running the race, Timothy. 19. You got to love this verse after reading about these two characters. Nevertheless, the foundation, the bedrock of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This babbling, this apostasy. Now, how are a lot of men going to be able to tell mankind, not just men, if it's vain babbling? That's where discipleship comes in. You younger people, and I don't mean just in age, I'm talking about younger people in the faith. What you need to do is find somebody in the church who is running the race the way that God wants them to. You latch on to those. And if you're one of the older ones and somebody wants to come up alongside you to be instructed, and you don't instruct them, shame on you. We're assigned to do that. We don't do it, and then later we cry, well, why isn't the church stronger than it is? Why is it we keep being led away? We're not doing what we're told to do. I'll start over in 19. Nevertheless, the foundation, the bedrock of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Separate yourselves from this type of iniquity. Don't argue with the Mormons and others. Just present the gospel. They aren't debating with us. They're debating with God. We're told to bring them the message. That's our part. We don't save them. God says, over here, bring this one the message. That's what I'm to do. I'm not supposed to argue with them, debate it. God does the work in the heart. Spirit of God is much better at convicting and convincing men of their sin than you or I could ever be, no matter how well trained we think we are. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge, means to thoroughly cleanse, himself from these, the profane teachings and the babblings, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet, or fitting, profitable, for the master's use, and prepared, made ready, trained like for combat, unto every good work. While we battle for the right, whether it's apostasy or against our own flesh, God is training us for the battles ahead. Don't get discouraged. You're in training. When the hard times come, don't get discouraged. God's just training you for the next part. You've got to be victorious now. Oh, this is more than I can handle. No, it isn't. God wouldn't have given it to you if that was the case. It just means we need to lean a little harder. Less on us and more on him. Verse 22. Flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We are to avoid the lust of our youth. And it's not always from our youth, as we looked at last week. I believe this is not just referring to young in age, but also the mistakes of a new babe in Christ. Notice, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It's conditional. Not only are we to call on the Lord, but we're to have our heart right, a pure heart. We are to come up alongside to be co-laborers, encouraging, strengthening each other unto the good news of the Lord Jesus. Verse 23, but foolishness and unlearned questions avoid. Don't even pay attention to them, knowing that they do gender strifes. The word gender there means to procreate, to regenerate. Conflicts. Don't even tackle them. Just preach the gospel and keep going. And the servant of the Lord must not strife. The word strife there is battle. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Our goal is not to win the argument, but to deliver a message of repentance and salvation, teaching truth with patience and gentleness when it comes to the unsaved. Sometimes, but not always, with the immature believer, We need to be a little bit more forceful than that, because they need to be growing. We need to instruct them in the life that God wants us to live. But always with the goal in mind of bringing them closer to the Lord Jesus. We can present the gospel. We can do a lot of things. We can stay busy. But if we're not bringing people closer to Jesus, either to be saved initially or to instruct them in their lives after they're saved, what are we really accomplishing? Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive battle, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Excuse me, I already did that one. 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose them, even though they're being opposed, in meekness. They oppose the word of God to their own detriment. If God, pre-adventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God has got to be the one that deals in the heart. And that they may recover themselves in faith by way of repentance. Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, to rescue souls to the glory of God. They already belong to Satan. He don't want to give them up. If you would now turn to the book of Acts, chapter 5. We'll start in verse 21. Acts 5:21. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning, starting the day off seeking God, and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. The doors weren't broke open. It doesn't look like anybody escaped. The guards were still on duty. And the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Now you got to be in there, kind of think of what they must have been thinking. These guys, I don't know how they got out. I have no idea. But you can bet they hightailed it out of here. These guys won't be back again. We had them in prison and they escaped. You can bet they're long gone by now. Verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Huh. Are you kidding me? These guys must have been completely dumbfounded. It didn't matter what the obstacle was. They threw them in jail. What did God say? Don't worry about it. Out. Let's go. Back to the temple. What did they do? They went back to the temple. They knew they were going to be easy to find. They weren't trying to teach in secret. They were determined. Peter and John were determined to rescue souls for the kingdom of God, in spite of knowing that they would be very easily found. Again, I will reference the Believer's Bible Commentary. It says, at daybreak, the apostles were teaching at the temple. In the meantime, the high priest met in solemn conclave with the council, the Sanhedrin. And the Senate all the elders, and waited for prisoners to be brought before them. Verse 25, it talks about, and the bewildered officers had to report to the court that everything at the prison was in good order, except that the prisoners were gone. Just imagine the look on their face. The doors were properly locked, and the guards were all at their stations. But the occupants were missing. A distressing report indeed. Where will it all end? Mused the captain of the temple and the chief priests. How far will this popular movement go? Then their questions were interrupted by a messenger announcing that the escaped prisoners were back at the old stand in the temple teaching the people. We must admire their convictions at any cost. Excuse me. Peter and John were well-trained soldiers for Christ, prepared for battle. So let me ask you, how well trained are you? How much time do you really, really spend in the book? How much time do you spend with believers that are trying to encourage you, even sometimes when they tell us things we don't particularly like? How much time are you spending growing, learning, understanding the ways of God? I read my Bible this morning. I opened it up and I read two verses. Unless you're memorizing those verses, you need to do a little more. How much time do we spend on our knees, really? Men, for some reason, I think ladies do this better than us guys do. A lot of times women will spend time in prayer. And I'm not talking about repeating the same prayer over. I'm talking about heart to heart, talking to God. Lord, I want to grow. I want to understand. I want to be used of you. What would you have me to do? Heart to heart, talking with God. For some reason, ladies seem to have a better, little easier time doing that for some reason than men do. Not to say that they're real great at it a lot of times either. God is instructed, especially if you consider yourself a mature believer, you're supposed to be ready to give an answer at any time. Supposed to be encouraging the brethren to grow. Don't stay where you're at. Many times, if you look at a chart, it goes up and we get up this far, we think, I look around, I'm pretty good now. I'm comfortable. And we back down. So we made it this far where God wants us is higher than the ceiling and we're content on this far. Let's see. All right. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll start in verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. That word judge is the same one we looked at last week. It's the Greek word krino, which means to punish or condemn. Who shall punish or condemn the quick, that means living, and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? When it's convenient, even when it's not convenient, preach the word of God. It may not be convenient for us sometimes, but God says do it. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Reproof means to admonish. Rebuke means to charge. exhort, to encourage, with all long-suffering. Here it means patience. Be patient. Keep teaching it over and over and over again if you need to. With all long-suffering and doctrine, hang in to the word of God and keep preaching it. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We got to do it while we can, while it's effective. Will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, after their own longing desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what? If we're not doing the teaching, somebody will. Do we want it to be truth or error? Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, preaching the gospel, make full proof to carry out one's duty fully, to make full proof of the ministry. Each of us has got some kind of ministry. It's whether or not are we doing what God has called us. Are you working at yours? Are you fully determined to give your all for the ministry that the Master has given you? Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. Paul says, I'm about to die. Timothy, I'm trying to encourage you and give you instruction, not only for you, but for others that you need to be teaching. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul's life was about to come to an end. But the good news from Paul is verse 7. I have fought the good fight, Paul's battles. I have finished my course. It was a long race, but he ran it for all he was worth. I have kept the faith. Can that be said about you? Are you battling or just sitting back and letting others fight the good fight? The Lord wants you in the battle for the souls of men. Not only is it for the souls of men, but it strengthens the inner man. When I share Christ with others, the point is not just for them, but I benefit as well. My spiritual growth benefits. And God wants you in the battle. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul says, there's rewards for me. I ran the race as best I could. I may be in the flesh and I may have sin in my life in certain areas, but I gave it my all to run the race for God. And Paul says, there's rewards waiting for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Those rewards are not just for Paul, but they're for us too. How much are we determined to run the race for the Lord Jesus? How much are we involved in trying to encourage the brethren to do right, to grow, to give instruction? That's what a mature believer is supposed to do. And if you haven't gotten there yet, pull up alongside somebody that has. And sometimes, guess what? They're probably going to tell you things you don't like. But if you want to grow and you want to be prepared and ready for the battle that lies ahead, that's exactly what you need to do. And for us older ones, we're not off the hook either. We're supposed to be found right here. How much time do you really study? How much time do you really pray? I would suggest it's nowhere near enough. Most people, most believing believers do not study the Word of God like they should. Nor do they spend the time in prayer like they should. And then they want to know why they're not growing. I guess I've gotten after you enough this morning. Let's close in prayer.